These are not easy times for many immigrants arriving in the United States, especially for those who are undocumented. Yes, even some who are living here legally. The Immigrants Assistance Center deals with these issues every day. Here to discuss the IAC and the work it's doing is the agency's president, Helena De Silva Hughes. Welcome back, Helena.
Thank you. Thank you for the invitation.
You sent out a statement this week. Which was heartfelt, I thought. I thought it was really a good way to express what you do at the IAC. It's a fundraising statement. I mean, it's the time of the year.
It's an annual plea.
Explaining why people should consider donating to the ICA. IAC. You are reminding people that immigrants are really a vital part of the community. Not only now. 60, 80, 100 years ago, they were a vital part of this community as well, right?
Yeah, exactly. And I feel like the immigrant population is the backbone of this of the community. And that is one of the reasons why for many years we talk about the economy. And we can't talk about the economy without including the immigrant labor force. And so to me, not too long ago, during the pandemic, you know, that's the immigrant communities and the workforce is what kept the United States moving. They were the frontline workers. They were CNAs, PCAs. They were working in restaurants. They were working in grocery stores. They were doing all these jobs that, as many people were home working virtually. And so, to me, at that time. We hailed this population, the immigrant population, as heroes. And to me, it's just how quickly that changed.
Not so much now.
Exactly.
Not so much now. Many immigrants are living with the fear of being rounded up and deported. And as I mentioned, some who are undocumented, for sure, but some who have always felt they've been here legally.
Exactly.
So what's your advice to these folks who are living in fear now?
What I have been doing, a lot of them, so we're seeing, when I'm glad you mentioned it's immigrants in general, no matter what status they have, we have green card holders. These are legal permanent residents who, after 5 years of having the status, they can apply for citizenship. So that population of green card holders are, many of them are afraid to leave the United States. And we are seeing the numbers of people applying for citizenship, green card holders, again, I want to mention, applying for citizenship, the numbers have tripled from previous years. And the reason why many of them are applying for citizenship is they are in fear of being picked up. They do not feel secured living in the United States with just a legal, with a green card.
And, That's quite a feeling to have, to be unsure of where your home is. Now, look, I think everybody agrees that if you are a criminal, if you have a criminal record, if you have a criminal record in your old country or here, that you shouldn't be here.
I absolutely agree with you. No one wants criminals who are here. They should not be here. And I think that is something that we all agree. There is no argument on that. I think if you commit a crime, you absolutely need to leave this country because it is a privilege to be here.
But there are many people who are living here, haven't done anything wrong, and are still very much afraid.
Absolutely.
So how many calls are you getting from people who are afraid that the ICE agents will be knocking on their door?
I have been getting an average of about 7 to 8 calls a week. I would say that we have families, a lot of our families are, we call it mixed immigration. What does that mean? That means the parents are here with no status, but they have children who are born in the United States. And I have to say that's probably the most, those are extremely at risk. So what we have been doing for since January, more than ever, I think I've done about 35 sessions at schools utilizing the media, churches, and just service providers, just educating this population the importance of having an emergency family preparedness. Because for these families, they need to have a plan in place, because as I mentioned, many of them have children born in the United States. And if they get picked up by immigration, we do not want the state to take over the children. So this emergency family preparedness is a plan that they'll have in place that they have. We've been doing quite a few of those that needs to be, they have to assign a caregiver, which means we always ask the caregiver to be a U.S. citizen. So these families have to assign someone who will come to the center, fill out forms along with the parents in case they get picked up by immigration. They have someone that is a U.S. citizen who can temporarily take care of their children.
You know what people say. You don't have to go too far to hear what people say. Hey, you've been here for a while. File an application for citizenship. Become a citizen. Well, they're doing that. Probably many of them have waited.
And some of them, yeah. And some of them, right? And I think that's a question, Jim, that I keep getting asked a lot is, if they've been here for so many years, why can't they just get legalization? First of all, it's important for people to understand that for the mixed immigration families that I am speaking, that the parents have no status, there is no process for them available for them to get a green card, right? There's no process in place. So to me, that's why, and you and I have had these conversations before about an immigration reform. We've been discussing an immigration reform for over 30 years, which will be a path that will legalize, a path to legalize these families, household members who don't have status in the United States. And there will be a path, which unfortunately both parties, Democrats and Republicans, are to blame, the reason why we do not have an immigration reform bill.
I couldn't agree more with you. This is not just a Republican problem or a Democratic problem. Both parties are
exactly
to blame.
They're both to blame.
And they, you know, we talk about immigration ad nauseum here, and you know, a plan would be a good thing to work off of, but we can't seem to even agree on a plan.
We don't. They're not even talking.
Right, exactly.
Never mind. So we can't. If we're not talking, we can't. We can't get anywhere. I know during President Bush, there was a plan, they called it the Gang of Eight, and there was an immigration reform bill that made so much sense, and it got stuck in the House, and the House was controlled by the Democrats. Again, it made so much sense, but unfortunately, here we are still discussing something that we don't have, and it doesn't look like it's going to be attainable.
You're listening to Town Square Sunday. I'm Jim Phillips. My guest is Helena Da Silva Hughes. She's the president of the Immigrants Assistance Center in New Bedford. You've heard some stories. And your staff have heard some horrific kinds of stories about how people have come here and really have, I'm not sure if they've suffered, maybe in some cases they have, but suffered more than in their homeland. But the fact is, they've had a difficult time here.
Yeah.
Can you tell us a story or two?
Sure. So there's the journey of coming, and we hear this. So we do a lot of work for many years now with the unaccompanied youth. Unaccompanied youth are these kids that are coming through the border, or maybe 12, 13, 14, they're coming in, and women and girls too, that are coming through the border, and they have been, their journey to get to the border was horrific. They've witnessed a lot of, some of them have witnessed their family members, brothers, mothers, fathers, maybe getting killed, and they were like fleeing from gangs. And due to that trauma, they ended up here in our area. And now some of them qualify for, we call it a special juvenile visa, which means for students or for children who have been abandoned by a parent And so this special juvenile visa, they have to, you know, there's a lot of screening that goes with the process. And so just hearing the stories, of the stories are that we've been hearing for so many years. About a few years ago, we decided that it was really important because of the trauma that these kids have gone through, that it was very important to add a mental health component because of the trauma of these kids. So we're able to fundraise to be able to have a therapist who were able to meet with these kids and provide one-on-one therapy. Last year, I think out of the 20s, we worked 27 kids, we were able to provide one-on-one therapy. During the therapy sessions, we were able to identify 7 of them who had been trafficking victims. And through that, we've been able to support with legal support. And so these are stories we've heard of girls that have gotten raped on their way, on their journey here, and had children from the person whom they got raped from. So it's just, these stories are constant. And it's, after a while, you just can't believe the trauma that these families.
But you were able to help that young woman.
Yes, we were able. Exactly.
The IIC was able to help.
Yes,
her.
Yes.
How did you do that?
We were able in this particular case, and we're talking about the case that I've mentioned during the plea letter. So what had happened was she had also come in as a refugee, and she had witnessed a lot of trauma in her country. And she basically, the good thing is she came in as a refugee and eventually got her green card. But in the process here in the United States, she was also a victim of sexual assault. And what we have been able to provide, she was actually homeless. This particular case was homeless. She was living in her car, and she was totally disconnected from her family. And what we were able to do was really sit down with her. First of all, the good thing is we were able to find her a place to live. We were able to, then she ended up in a crisis center quite a few times. The good thing is we were able to help her become a U.S. citizen. So she became a U.S. citizen. And through therapy, she was able to reunite with her family. And she's reunited with her family. She was able to go back to school and graduated. And we helped her find a job in her career. So that is a success story. But we've had thousands of them in the same situations. But it is very, just to hear, after a while, you hear these stories over and over again from these families in their journey. We had a case that just happened, that both the mom and the dad was deported, and now the young girl who is 18 now is responsible for her little siblings, her brothers, little brothers and sisters, mm-hmm. because the family decided that it was best for the daughter, they're all U.S. citizens, to stay and take care of the children, and both parents are gone. So to me, is like a girl is 18. What is now? She's got this responsibility of taking care of the children, and they know that the parents, once they've been deported, they are not going to be able to come back to the United States.
That is a grim story.
Yeah, and these are just, I can go on and on. It's just that. It's just, we just try and, where we're there, I always look at the center as a very safe place where we've been around, as you know, since 1971. We've been in that same location on 58 Craper Street since 1976. It's a place, it's a beacon of hope for this community. And we're there to help and listen to their stories, see if there's any way that we can help them in any way, and the annual plea is definitely something we do every year, because the funding has also been cut. You know, we've lost some funding, and we're just trying to stay and be able to be a voice and help these population, no matter what immigration status they have.
My guest, Helena DeSilva Hughes, president of the Immigrants Assistance Center here in New Bedford. I'm Jim Phillips. The folks from Afghanistan who came here, Helena, are they expected to be, I guess they, it's been said, they're going to be re-interviewed by the government after the shooting of the two National Guard members, one fatally in Washington, D.C., by a man who was allegedly radicalized here.
It's a tragedy.
Do you know if that started?
It's a tragedy. It's a tragedy at so many levels. It's a tragedy. And the sad thing is, you know, Jim, you and I discussed this earlier. I mean, when they first arrived, right? They were arriving because these were the United States allies. The reason why they were able to get granted refugees.
Yeah, and they helped us.
Exactly.
So the Afghan war.
And the difference between, and I think that's the difference between a refugee and immigrant. An immigrant decides to come to the United States. A refugee have no choice, right? So these are people that helped the United States. They were either interpreters and they were our allies. And that is the reason why they were granted asylum. They were screened. And finally, and they were able, many of them now have a green card. And now some of them are waiting to be reunited with their families, and they have their children back in Afghanistan.
That's been slowed down, right?
Well, the thing is, right now, everything stopped. Everything has stopped, and now these families that have, these gentlemen and families that have were granted green cards, that have gone through the screening process, are going to have to be reexamined again, which to me, they've gone through a lot of trauma on their journey. The reason why they're here is because of the trauma that they faced, and they're in danger. They were in danger. And now if you were going to screening them all over again, it's bringing their trauma that they've already expressed to the forefront all over again.
You know if that's started yet?
I do not know if it's started yet. All I know is that it has been told, we have been told that it is, they're going to be pre-screened. And once they start pre-screening, it's important that they do not go alone, that they need to bring an attorney with them or pro bono attorney with them, because it's just been a lot of things where what we are seeing, there's no protocol that is being followed.
Elena, the IAC hosts three ceremonies each year with up to 30 new citizens taking the oath at each event. This month's ceremony being rescheduled, was that right?
Yes, we already knew. I had gotten a call from USCIS basically explained, because we were going to have one on December 11th, that due to the government shutdown, which I absolutely understood, due to the government shutdown, everything was backed up. And this was several weeks ago that I got the call, and that we were going to need to reschedule. So in January, USCIS will be reaching out to reschedule the next event.
I've been to these ceremonies. They are moving. They're special. They make you, I think, take pride in what this country is all about. And I know those who take the oath, they do so with great pride as well.
It's the highlight. It's, to me, when you look at the Immigrants Assistance Center, I always say the integration into the United States really happens is when they become a U.S. citizen, because once they become a U.S. citizen, they're able to vote. And we, of course, it's important for them to register to vote. But I will have to say that, their journey until they become U.S. citizens. So when you attend these events, to me, that's the highlight of my career, is being able to have and sponsor these events at the Immigrants Assistance Center, where immigrants have gone through all of their challenges, and their final is when they get sworn in. And it is always very emotional. It always brings me back when I became a citizen.
How can people donate to the IAC?
Well, first of all, they can go online, theimmigrantsassistancecenter.org. There is a button there where people can donate. That people can send a check to the Immigrants Assistance Center at 58 Crapo Street, second floor, New Bedford, Mass. 02740. Or they can, they can come by. We always love when people come by and actually meet the amazing team that we have at the center, where we're all immigrants, so we represent many different countries. All our staff are immigrants. And so to me, it's that's why it's important that when immigrants come to speak to us, they're speaking to people that many of us have gone through exactly the same challenges.
My guest has been Helena DeSilva Hughes, president of the Immigrants Assistance Center in New Bedford. Her goal and her agency's goal, very simple, all people, regardless of immigration status, are treated with respect and dignity. Thank you for coming in, Helena.
Thank you very much, and happy holidays to everyone.
Same to you. Thank you. Still to come on Town Square Sunday, we'll run down the schedule for December and January at the New Bedford Fishing Heritage Center. Stay with us.